Woo, woo, woo.
By the way,
yes.
Did you see Graham Metzger, who went to Oregon, walk in here with his Oregon sweatshirt after they beat UCLA by two measly points? Get your little O out of here,
go
jackass. No, you deserve it. You won.
UCLA,
USC,
right?
Stanford, all done.
Stanford.
Okay, can I say something about this?
Yeah.
So
I got a whole long backstory here. Okay.
Okay. So when Mark Mattson was an assistant coach for the Lakers, I got to know him really well. And he used to come to the back of the plane. The coaches sat in the front of the plane. He used to come to the back of the plane. Because I'm a notes nut. I like doing a play-by-play of an NBA game is like an open note test. You can take whatever. So Mark, when he was, if I had his scout, he'd go, "Hey, Utah's my scout. What do you got on him?" And I'd say, "I'll send it all to you. I got tons of good stuff for you." And so I just started talking to him, and we became pretty good friends. And so several years ago, when he was assistant for the Lakers, he went to interview for the Stanford job. And he was a finalist, but he didn't get it. And they gave it to Jared Haas, who got fired yesterday. But Mark realized, I'm going to have to work my way up as a head coach. The fact that I'm an NBA assistant is not going to get me into the Pac-12. So he went to like Utah Valley State or something and killed it. And I knew he was going to kill it because he's like super possessed with excellence. Like he's just one of those guys that he never, I'll tell you this, Ramona knows this because she went to school with him. He never should have been in the NBA. He stayed in the NBA for 10 years because he was an energy guy who outworked everybody. Mm-hmm. So he knew that's what he had to do as a coach. So he goes to Utah Valley State and he kills it. And there's a guy, I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but there's a kid that plays for Stanford now and his dad or his grandfather plays golf at Mountain Gate. So I talked to his grandfather all the time. And I kept telling him, I go, "Haas is struggling. They should go get Mattson right now."
Yep.
He's had two great years at Utah Valley State.
Yep.
And he's going to get a job and they should go get him. And Haas is hovering on 500. He's not getting any recruits. Stanford, Mattson went to Stanford. He would stay there forever and you would win. And he goes, "Well, we've talked to the athletic department and blah, blah." Sure enough, Cal, of all people, hires Mattson. And he kills it in his first year at Cal. 2 days ago, they gave Mattson a big extension all the way to 2029. Now Stanford fires their coach. Ramona, they screwed that up six ways to Sunday. I know that's your school, but I can't believe.
Oh, I have followed this very closely.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally, Mark. So my freshman year was the year that Mark Mattson and Brevin Knight and
went to the Elite Eight.
Final Four.
So they made it all the way to the Final Four.
Final
right. They won the Elite Eight in Anaheim.
Exactly.
And
they
went
got
to the
beat
Final
by
Four.
Utah and something like that.
Yeah, Casey Jacobson was a freshman on that team, right?
I don't know
or was
he?
Did he come later?
He came later. Yeah. But it was Mattson, Brevin Knight. Those were the two headliners. And then the Collins twins were freshmen. They were my year.
And Mike Montgomery was the coach.
Mike Montgomery. And we had a player named Mike Montgomery as well. So I think. Anyway, it was. But Mike Montgomery was the coach. And we had the greatest run. Like, this is probably the best football basketball run in Stanford history, right?
Right.
They're both good, both
overachieving.
Well, then we went to Rose Bowls while I was there. Like, I mean, I could never be so happy. And then it's kind of all gone downhill, except for when Harbaugh was there. But
didn't Tiger come either right before or right after
too? Right before.
Okay.
So and Tiger Chelsea Clinton. There.
That was my classmate.
I know she was.
You've heard lots of stories about my strange Chelsea Clinton stalking. Anyway.
weird is you mentioned the Collins twins.
Yeah.
Chelsea's best friend is married to Jaron Collins.
Yes, oh, really?
Elsa.
Okay.
Yeah. She's not best friends, but it's in the crew.
Yeah.
And she's also now best friends with Lauren Sanchez.
I've heard that. That's a good person to be best friends with.
That's when you get into the Bezos clan.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
She's managing up very well.
She's incredible. Elsa is like, if you don't know Elsa Collins, then you're not one of the cool kids.
Yeah, like one day I was
she's
at
She's like one of those people.
I was at Terranea or Pelican Hill somewhere. I'm in the pool. Yeah. And there's Freddie in the pool, Freddie Prinze. And he's down there with his kids and with Sarah Michelle Gellar, who he's married to. And he goes, "John, you know Jaron, right?" And there's Jaron Collins in the pool. And Elsa, she knows them too.
She's like one of those people who's just incredibly socially connected. Like she's just got it together. She's got really good friends. Anyway.
Right. So did the Stanford people, like you, the alums,
tell
people to hire Mattson?
Yes.
Where's the disconnect? Like when you have people that know things, right?
And didn't Jared Haas go to Cal?
Yes. Oh. It just gets worse. Like, yeah. You can't
take,
make
take
this
me
up.
Through it. How does he, how does
and
when?
I talked to Madsen at, he was at the Kobe statue reveal, and I saw him and his wife, and they have a bunch of kids now.
Of course.
And I was like, how, you know, how did you, how did we let this happen? And I,
how did
we,
it happen?
He wanted it, and he
goes, Jared's a friend of mine. I would never try to get somebody else's job. I didn't even ask.
But
you know,
okay,
once they were
take Mark Madsen and his aggressively trying to get it off the table. How does Stanford not have a guy with an NBA pedigree?
Yeah,
a guy that is a hardworking guy like you
and
described,
alum,
John,
who's basically our
and
mascot.
Alum, right? And then you have people like you, Ramona, and who knows how many other people saying, "Guys, this person is the person for the job."
So
by the way,
happened.
Anybody, all the successful people that went to school with Madsen, like Ramona, would have given money to the school had they hired Manson, and they didn't.
Well, here's what the issue is. So the same thing happened to our softball team, and I'm going to just tell you how this process works. So Madsen was killing it at Utah Valley State, but Jared Haas had come from someplace else that was a little higher up.
Right.
I forget where he was before this, but he was at a better conference
run.
And he had a good run. So he was like further up the
chain.
Yeah,
he's farther down the road.
Right? And so it would have been a little bit more of a leap of faith on Madsen at the time, even though,
not
like,
much of a
come
leap,
on,
though.
Man. Like,
and,
this
and
is
by
our
the
guy.
Way, he had Phil Jackson call for him.
Yeah.
And
Phil,
they didn't.
And whoever picked
and then,
up the phone
why
is a
not,
moron.
If you can't get Madsen, call Jaren Collins. Jaren's an assistant with the Pelicans now. He was an assistant for those Warriors teams. Also an alum. Also a great coach. So, and I go, Mark, come on. Is there anything we can do here? And I know you're doing well at Cal, but can we? He goes, Jared, and he kept saying this. He's very moral. He would never try to get somebody else a job. But I will say this. The same thing happened in softball. We hired the wrong two or three coaches in a row. And we had an alum, this girl that I played with. She was a freshman when I was a senior. Her name was Jessica Allister. And we all kept telling the administration, listen, this is our girl.
This is the one.
This is the
one. Is she now coaching somewhere else?
No. Well, this is what happened. She went to Minnesota. It was the same thing. She had to work her way up. They didn't believe it at first. She went to Minnesota. She took Minnesota to the College World Series. Then finally, we kept firing people.
Right.
And we finally hired her. And we were like, thank God. And now guess what? Last year, went to the College World Series.
I'm going to change gears here real quick, guys. I want to get your thoughts on this before Andy and I bounce. When you heard the Aaron Donald news this morning, your level of surprise was what? Because Andy was like,
first of all, it took me a minute. I had to watch the video, and I was like, wait, what did he do? It was just a highlight video.
Okay,
like,
so
it took me a minute to understand that he actually retired.
Yeah. I don't know where he is, and I'm not going to be able to reach him because he goes Zero Dark 30. But yesterday, Mason looked at me, and he goes, why is Aaron Donald trending?
Oh.
And I went, I have no idea. He goes, he's trending, but I can't figure out why. Somebody knew.
So apparently the Rams knew about, at the start of free agency, he told them, hey, this is what I'm going to do. So that they were able to keep it under wraps.
And
there were
good.
Some people started to kind of ask around, like, hey, why has Aaron Donald not officially said, I'm 100% coming back to play?
Yeah.
And that may have been the genesis of it. But when it dropped this morning, it caught me.
It surprised me.
By surprise.
But you know, it's interesting, Trav. There are a handful of people, and you're on this list, that have argued for the last few years that the Lakers should cut bait with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I hope they don't, because they might. I mean, LeBron has the option, so it would actually be LeBron cutting bait on them.
Sure.
But I think we all take for granted greatness when it's right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you had even more of a front row seat, Trav, than I did because you were working on the Ram games forever. This guy's irreplaceable.
He is.
You could argue it's either him or Deacon Jones is the greatest Rams defensive player ever.
No, it's Aaron Donald.
Well, Deacon Jones somebody went back and found Deacon Jones' sacks, and he'd be the NFL's all-time sack leader
if they
kept him.
But Andy and I were talking about this most of the day today. Deacon Jones was awesome. I got to know him a little bit as an aside, and he's a super good guy. But I don't think there's
passed
a lot of
away,
people.
Right?
He is, yeah. He passed away a bit ago. But I don't think there's a large contingent of NFL people that pay attention to this sort of stuff that's arguing that Deacon Jones is the greatest defensive player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The list is basically three people long. It's LT,
Reggie White.
It's Reggie White, and it's Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys.
So part of me feels very lucky that we got to be here when Aaron Donald held court for 10 years. It's going to put the Rams in a tremendous hole because he's irreplaceable, but we got to watch it for 10 years, and he won a Super Bowl, and he made the difference in the Super Bowl to win it. So I feel kind of lucky today.
And the play in the NFC Championship to send them to the Super Bowl by sacking or getting his hands on Jimmy G on that interception. Were you stunned?
Okay. Yes, it took me a second to like understand. Like you guys were all texting, and I was like, yeah. "What does the video say?" It's just a highlight video, and then it was like on to the next. And I was like, "Wait, is he leaving and signing with another team?" It took a minute to process what it was, but I guess I wasn't shocked because we had heard that before.
He talked about this after they won the Super Bowl, right?
And, he did.
And I always think that once you start talking about retiring, you're kind of already on that path. Like it's already in your head. It's just a matter of time.
Not unlike LeBron, though. He struck me as one of those guys that not only loves the competition, is aware of their place in history, but loves the preparation to put themselves in those positions, that is not only willing to do all of that, but enthusiastically.
But LeBron, though, has, and I think this speaks to Aaron Donald in deciding to retire, at least some element of it, LeBron has acknowledged it's gotten harder.
Right.
Like, it is much harder to do this stuff. And you see some of those cracks with LeBron now. I mean, like, respectfully to as great as he still is, it's not seamless the way it was 10 years ago because, believe it or not, he is actually human.
And I understand that the tax on the physical tax in the NFL and the NBA are quite different, but LeBron's been doing it twice as long as Aaron Donald.
Well, and the thing about LeBron is, and this is why I hesitate when people say the Lakers should cut bait from LeBron, nobody ever in the history of the NBA has put up numbers like this at this age.
I know.
The previous record for somebody in year 21 in points per game was 8. He's averaging 25. You know, it's just not
but
even
the
close.
Impact
so
is,
I guess this is a long way of saying, and I used to say it about Kobe all the time. You people that call us, and we'll get calls today and people that'll do this, that'll say, oh, well, the Rams will be fine and they'll move on. You don't know what you have until it's gone.
I don't think you're going to get many calls about Donald and the Rams.
They'll move on, but they're not going to be fine in the short term. He's like you said,
you're
he's
not going to get
irreplaceable. It's just how are we going to go about this differently? Because you're not finding another one of those.
Star effing driven town.
There you go.
Super Crosstalk is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for that. Oh, and with an accent, Momo. God. Very strong.
I've been sticking with that lately.
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been a minute. I've been with Mace a lot.
Yeah, because I've been back
you're
east.
Gone.
And we're going back east again in a couple of weeks. So I had this whole show set up to talk to you about Lakers and NBA and all this stuff. And then we get the news right before the show starts that Travis and Sliwa started, that Aaron Donald is retiring after 10 years. And it's surprising because of how much money he makes and how good he is. He's retiring at the top of his game. But I actually don't blame him.
Yeah.
I think that if I was a football player, I've seen so many football players that don't have a good quality of life as they're older. And a lot of them, Marcellus, I've talked to Marcellus about this a bunch. We're going to talk to Kirk Morrison here in about 10 minutes. Ramona, their quality of life, especially guys who play on the interior line, offensive line and defensive linemen. Marcellus told me once point blank, he goes, I'm pretty sure I have CTE.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be a part of my life when I get older. I'm fine now. But I'm not. Our buddy Billy Ray Smith, who Cap did a show with for 20 years, I used to do a show with on the weekends, is starting to show signs of that as he's been away from the game. Great guy. So I don't blame Aaron Donald, and part of me is kind of happy for him.
I mean, I always think it's hard because once you're in that life, like you just the NBA life, you're in it. Like You're traveling, you're on the team playing, you're city to city.
There's nothing, you can't get a, there's not a comparable high
yeah.
to it.
I used to say this to my mom when I was, I don't know, sophomore year. I was like, we had six, my freshman year I played all the time. Sophomore year, we got this big recruiting class, one of which was Jessica Mendoza.
Right, okay? Who turned out to be unbelievable.
Olympic yeah. star, everything. And I went from being starting every game in right field to like the sixth out of six outfielders.
Right. right?
And so the first, I don't know, half the season or so, I was like pinch runner girl. And it wasn't until Mendoza got mono that I had to go, that I played outfield.
Right.
Like they would go, okay, you're outfield and she'll
So your
hit.
Circumstances changed
yeah.
drastically.
And it was like, it was so hard being on the team but not playing. And I remember thinking like, you know, at that time I wasn't on scholarship. I was just financial aid or whatever. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm like putting all this time and energy into preparing for this. And I'm part of the team, but I'm not playing. And all I do is like pinch run once a game sometimes.
Right.
And I was like, my mom was like, you know, you don't have to play. You can go just be a regular student. I was like, there's no way that I can't play. Because
right.
there's nothing in your life that gives you as big of a high as you get being at this level, being at the highest level. And so I always think about that when an athlete retires, like when whether they choose to retire or whether it's forced upon them, right? That like you just retire because
yeah.
nobody wants you anymore. There's nothing you can do in your life that will give you as big of a high as you get being a dominant player like Aaron Donald. Being on the team, working every day to a common goal. Like, you know, I remember when Kobe retired, he'd spent 2 or 3 years sort of charting that exit ramp.
Yeah.
Right? And what am I going to do after? And you know, he threw himself full force into being a producer and a creative and writing books. And I remember he told me he went to church the next morning at 7:30 after his last game, and then he worked out. Because you have that life, everything, the regimen, the camaraderie, the structure, the discipline, like it's just so hard to just walk away from that.
And he's going to now, and it leaves the Rams a tremendous hole. But you talk about a guy who,
yeah,
I mean, he deserves to go out any way he wants. There's nobody statistically
yeah.
that really compares to him other than Travis was talking about this. Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White.
Yeah.
He was 8-time All-Pro. I mean, he was all 10 years he was mm-hmm. in the Pro Bowl. He was 8-time Pro Bowler and all 10 years he was All-Pro.
Do you feel
3-time
like
Defensive Player of the Year.
Did we get to know him, Aaron Donald?
Like, yeah, he came in the show. He didn't love doing media,
yeah.
but here's the one thing I'll say about him. I had a relationship with Wade Phillips, who was the
defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and he Wade... My second stop in TV was in Beaumont, Texas, and Wade mm-hmm. is from a town called Nederland, which is 5 minutes outside of Beaumont. And so I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, he's a football lifer. His dad, Bum, was the
yeah.
coach of the Oilers. And
yep.
and so I asked Wade, I said, you've seen almost every great defensive player. You used to have to scheme against Lawrence Taylor. You've had to scheme against Reggie White.
Yeah.
Where does Aaron Donald rank? And Wade was not prone to hyperbole, and he just said, as good as anybody I've ever seen.
Wow.
He's that good. He's in that class with those guys you're talking about. And Lawrence Taylor is universally considered the greatest defensive player ever to
yeah.
play the game. And for people to say that Aaron Donald is in that conversation
yeah.
tells you everything you need
to
know.
And the thing about, like, but I feel like with Lawrence Taylor, he was more of a personality, right? Like
right.
he had the earring and he was on TV a little bit more. He had a little, Aaron did a few commercials. I feel like he's more of a private guy, and that's maybe why I don't feel like I got to know him. I mean, I didn't cover the Rams the way you guys do.
Yeah.
And, but I feel like anybody who makes a decision like that, I admire because it shows me they have balance in their life, that what they're walking away from, they feel like they're walking into something else, and they have enough in their life to keep them happy and healthy and whatever it is, like balanced and motivated. Like he didn't
yeah,
give this up lightly.
That's weird. Like I think, Greg, I think our show is, I'll probably walk away a little too soon. I sense Greg will walk away when it's just right. I mean,
okay.
you have a very good life balance when
yes.
Riley is, you know,
when she's comfortable, yeah, she's happy, healthy.
Yeah, then you can relax a little bit.
Yep.
Mace is gonna hang on to the rope way too long.
As long as
he'll die on the job, because his joke is they will have to pry this microphone from my cold dead fingers.
He's gonna be 95.
Yeah, he will. He'll be doing either a show or podcast. And here's Bryan Cranston to get him some Shanka.
My old friend Sue Kalinske.
Mason will die on the job.
LeBron will still be playing.
Donald is going a little sooner than he needs to.
Yeah.
And you're right. That's admirable.
It's admirable because it shows me, like, I had this a couple times in my life, right? When I stopped playing softball, it was a big, you know, it's sort of forced upon you. There's nowhere place to play. You're done. It's your senior year. You're done. And I wasn't really ready, but I knew it was coming. Like, you saw the end.
Right.
And you had to, like, prepare yourself
for it. And it's a little different for you because it's not like there is a professional softball league that you could escalate to.
Theoretically, I could have gone and played to Europe or something. But, like, that's not the same as playing in the best college softball conference in the country. Like, there's no comp. Plus, I felt like I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life at the time.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Some people, especially at Stanford, they're like, they have the next 17 years and every single day mapped out and whatever. But, like, even those people, they get off the hamster wheel at some point and realize, like, oh, I better figure out my life. And for me, I just kind of, like, jumped into the great wide open and flailed for a while. And it took
everybody does that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Flailed for a while. And I remember my friend saying, like, you can't steer a boat if it's not moving. And that was this really good advice that I always give college kids too. Like, you won't know what you're doing. You're going to flail, whatever. But, like, Aaron Donald, I assume he knows what he's walking away from, and I assume he knows what he's walking into.
And what I love about his story, 3-star recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And then he gets to Pittsburgh, and he's just way better than anybody thought he would be. And then he has this unbelievable NFL career. So good for him. We're going to talk to Kirk Morrison next, who had to play against him.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk was a defensive player.
Oh, and they found my postmates.
Oh, yes, Cody Liu gets the Indiana Jones Award.
Building. I was like, did somebody leave a Postmates for Ramona? No. Okay.
All right, so good. Now you're going to get food.
Okay.
Hey, I want to talk about ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you got to use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find qualified candidates for all your roles fast. Ian Siegel, the guy who invented ZipRecruiter, puts it this way. They don't leave anything to chance. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter uses powerful matching technology to quickly find and send you the most qualified people for your roles. How quick? 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within 1 day. So speed up your hiring process with ZipRecruiter. Go to that website. Try it today for free. ZipRecruiter.com/LA. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. There's a little yacht rock for you. And John Shea from Huntington Beach just won a pair of tickets to see the Titans of Soft Rock Yachtly crew. Just listen for Morales to give you the cue to call. And when you hear it, be caller number 7 at 877-710-ESPN, and you win a pair of tickets to 710-ESPN Night at the Whiskey in Hollywood on Friday, March 29th. Mason, Cappy, Morales, all there to watch Yachtly crew. You can get your tickets now and join the fun. All right, Greg, do we have Kirk?
Yes, we do.
He's ready.
Okay. Kirk Morrison joining us now. Kirk played in the NFL. Kirk, I'm trying to remember, did you ever play in the same game as Aaron Donald, or did he come after you got out?
No, he came after I got out, but it's kind of our correlation is different, is that the year prior I retired, John, and then after that I went into broadcasting. And so my first ever game being a broadcaster was NFL on Fox. Dick Stockton was my play-by-play. I was a color analyst. And it was Aaron Donald's first game as a St. Louis Ram and going up against the Minnesota Vikings at the Edward Jones Dome. And I will tell you this. I went to practice, John, 2 days prior to the game. And I always remember, I get to practice. I meet with Jeff Fisher. I meet with Les Snead. And as we get done with the meeting, practice was maybe about 2 hours, away. And yet there was a guy out there on the field going through pass rush moves, defensive moves. I'm like, Coach, what time is practice? If practice is not till 1, well, then who's that guy out there going through a full-on workout? And that was their rookie first-round pick, Aaron Donald, out of Pitt. And from that day on, I just kind of knew. I'm not surprised at his career, but you just knew from seeing him that day, 2 hours before practice with Robert Quinn and Chris Long on the team, this young rookie was trying to break the starting roster. He didn't start the first couple games, but, man, look at the career that he had.
Where do you think that drive came from? Like, you know him better than I do, so I don't – That has to come from somewhere, whether it's
and
chip
Kirk,
on your shoulder.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he wasn't I think he was a 3-star recruit coming out of high school, right? Mm-hmm. This wasn't a guy that got ID'd when he was 14 years old as a future NFL star, right?
Yeah, that work all came from home, came from pops, came from his family, came from Pittsburgh, you know, Pitt Tough. Mm-hmm. That's kind of who they are. And Aaron Donald exemplified that. I mean, just watching him throughout his collegiate career to his NFL career, he's never changed. I will tell you this, the same guy that I just talked about, I saw him in 2014 take the practice field. I'm in Irvine last year for training camp, and practice doesn't start, you know, right around, what, like 2, 3 o'clock, John, you would say, Romo?
Sure.
And Aaron Donald's out there 2 hours before practice.
Again. Yeah, he's Kobe. That's what Kobe used to do.
He was always out there. And so when all of a sudden you see the results that come on Sunday, you're not surprised because he's put in the work, tireless, showed so many guys how to work. And that's the reason why you're never surprised when you see all the accolades that Aaron Donald gets.
We're talking to Kirk Morrison, played in the NFL for a long time. Of course, Kirk's part of our broadcast team and broadcasts both on radio and television, college, pro football, and Kirk's been around the game his whole life. Kirk, you're uniquely qualified to answer this question. Why is Aaron Donald one of the 3 or 4 best players ever? For example, Lawrence Taylor was really fast. Nobody could block him. Reggie White was really strong. You couldn't move him. What made Aaron Donald the great player that he was?
You know, John, it was crazy to think that it was a negative for Aaron Donald, a negative that he was 6'1".
Huh.
And people say he was undersized. But if you think about this, and I would talk about this with DeMarco Farr as well, DeMarco, we would always talk about, it actually was a perfect height for Aaron Donald. You know why it was a perfect height? Because offensive linemen had to come down to him.
Yeah.
Like, usually they were going against guys from 6'4", 6'5", right? And they, you know, they're kind of an equal length. But Aaron Donald played with such great leverage as an undersized sort of defensive lineman. But he was stronger than every offensive lineman, every defensive lineman. Then the speed, the agility, his footwork is one in which a lot of defensive linemen mimic now. I mean, watching Aaron Donald on a foot ladder drill is like poetry in motion. He truly was a dancing bear, but he also had the strength of that dancing bear. And he showed that you're not undersized at 6'1". He was actually a prototype that you just won't ever see. You don't see guys that size, that lean, that strength, that agility. He's, you know, second to none. I say this, he's the greatest Ram in Ram history.
Wow.
When you talk about a guy who went 10 for 10, he was in the league 10 years, he made 10 Pro Bowls. He's a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. You tell me another Los Angeles Ram, St. Louis Ram, it doesn't matter. Aaron Donald is the greatest Ram of all time with the record, the resume that he presents. He walks into Canton in 2029, so let's make sure we get our tickets ready for Canton because he's going in first ballot, he and Jason Kelce.
What's he going to do now? Like, me don't walk away and retire without having an idea. Like, I don't know his off the field life or whatever it is, but what does he walk into?
You know, Momo, remember he had this conversation 2 years ago after the Rams won the Super Bowl, and he was already contemplating retirement. He came out, he said, look, I'm going to come back. They got the new contract. And the Rams had such a poor year in 2022. And he didn't want his career to go out that way. I think to answer your question, Momo, he found so much joy in bringing along the younger players, the 14 draft picks the Rams had last year. And there was a point last year, Ramona, that I saw Aaron Donald. He ran off the field with Kobe Turner, the young defensive standout tackle they drafted. He had his arm around Kobe Turner, and they kind of skipped off the field like they were in elementary school. And I'm looking at this, and I said, man, you know what? He's found joy in helping out the next generation of players, and that's what he's going to continue to do. I think his work ethic won't stop. He is just now at a point where, honestly, he had already chased greatness. He's already the greatest defensive tackle in the game. Maybe, like you said, top five defensive player ever in the game. And it's to a point now, he walks away on top, which a lot of players don't necessarily have that luxury. Aaron Donald will do that.
Kirk Morrison is our guest. Kirk, last thing for you. How do the Rams move forward from here? In other words, you can't, I mean, he's irreplaceable. You can't get one guy to replace him. You mentioned Kobe Turner, who had nine sacks last year, but how big of an impact is this on the Rams defense for a team that made the playoffs last year and was moving forward this year with Super Bowl hopes?
Oh, I think you have a lot of faith in Les Snead and Sean McVay. I mean, like I said, last year they drafted 14 players. All 14 of their players made the team. And they were actually impact players. That's unheard of in the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't replace an Aaron Donald. You don't. It may take a year or two. It's going to take multiple guys to give you the production of one Aaron Donald. And you got to have faith in the organization that they will go out and just they'll plug players in. They'll look at the waiver wires. They'll see and look at free agency. You can't replace Aaron Donald. It's going to take two or three of the years before they finally solidify that position. But look, Aaron Donald gave them the opportunity to do it now in the offseason. Now the Rams may go into it with a first-round pick for the first time since they moved to Los Angeles. Maybe they go out and draft a defensive tackle for the first time in a very long time. That could be something that we see, but it's going to be hard to replace one of the greatest football players ever, regardless of uniform.
Kirk, I know your phone's ringing off the hook. Thank you for talking with us, and have a great day, man. Have a good weekend. We'll see you soon.
You too. Good talking to you, John Ramona. Have a good one.
All right, there's Kirk Morrison. And coming up, we'll spin the wheel of questions and we'll continue to talk about Aaron Donald, who surprised everybody. Well, maybe not the Rams. Apparently, he gave the Rams a heads up, but surprised a lot of Ram fans by announcing his retirement today. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, time for Wheel of Questions. Laura Romo, what do you got?
All right, guys. So I found a really cool, like, clothing shop that sells vintage sports jerseys, shirts, jackets, etc. And I saw a dope Bills jacket, and I almost bought it. But then I said to myself, I can't wear another team's gear. My question to you guys is, would you wear another team, obviously not your team's, gear if it's vintage? Are you guys open to that? Or it's like, nah, I can only wear my own.
I would be. It depends who the player is. Like, it was just a Bills jacket, but with
no player.
No player reference. I probably wouldn't do that. But I would wear, like, an old Pete Maravich jersey. Or I would wear, like, an old Dr. J jersey.
Okay.
Even though those guys weren't playing for... I'm a Laker fan. Those guys weren't playing for the Lakers. I would do that. Momo, wouldn't you? Like, if it was a certain player, or you just...
I wear stuff all the time, and I put my kids in all different outfits, because I have a different job. Like, I almost... Like, my kids are wearing Milwaukee Bucks things, Sixers things. I remember with baby clothes, like, a lot of teams, like, would send me stuff. I would buy stuff from all of... Because I kind of wanted to be like, hey, I'm not choosing, you know, I'm neutral.
Right? You're neutral.
Yeah,
okay.
And so I think it's cool to wear other teams' gear. I mean, it doesn't make, like, no, in the NFL, I'm still going to wear Raider stuff, but I'm probably not going to, I wouldn't look at you funny if you were wearing a Bills thing. But if you wore, like, a Broncos outfit, or if you wore a Chargers thing, or something, one of our rivals, that'd be a problem.
Bergman, you okay wearing opposing gear?
So, yes and no. No, if you're a team that's still around right now that's not my team, no, absolutely not. If you're the Quebec Nordiques, like, sure, I'll wear that because that's vintage and cool, and
that's
I
cool,
think
yeah.
it's kind of, I like the logo and all that kind of stuff. But no, if I'm a Los Angeles Kings fan, I'm not going to wear, you know, a Boston Bruins jersey. Like, that's right. Just not going to happen. I will not wear my
I bought a Mariners shirt
it.
Last year at spring training because I like Julio Rodriguez, right? So I bought one of his, and I like the teal.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, I
like the color.
It's
and also,
color.
So like, I would. You're a Dodger fan, so like Seattle, that's okay. It's different.
Seattle,
leagues.
They're not, but you know, they ain't hurt nobody.
I would wear an Edmonton. I would wear an Edmonton Oilers Gretzky jersey.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I'd get a Kings one too, but I don't. No, it's a
like Edmonton's good, and they're kind of rivals with the Kings. Nah, I'm out.
Yeah, it is interesting what you can and can't get away with.
Yeah, like I would never do. So for me, is I would never do anything Boston. I don't care. I would only do like a Chicago Bulls like throwback because I love
like
that night. Yeah, like the 90s Bulls stuff I love, or like a Yankee thing. But that's it. Like I don't see myself really
Yankees.
Yeah.
Nah,
by the way, isn't this how Rich Paul started his career?
It is.
Selling vintage sports jerseys
like out of the trunk of his car.
Right. And was like really good at it, and word got around that if you needed to find an old vintage jersey, that Rich was your guy,
and now he's buying Lakers,
right? well, I mean, he might have enough money to buy a team now. You never know. I don't think it'll be the Lakers, but I think he might be able. Like LeBron's talking about maybe getting this Vegas expansion team. I'm sure Rich might be a part of that. It'd be a matter of whether or not he could be an owner and still represent players. And if he wanted to, like Arne Tellem did that. He went to work for the Pistons. He got out of the agent business. Rob Pelinka did that.
Yeah.
Rob represented tons of players. They offered him the Laker GM job, and he just divested all his clients.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, this one is a big no-no for me. Very taboo. I don't know. Like, you'll never see me in any other thing if it's not Dodgers, Lakers, or Chargers. I just can't fathom putting it on. I don't know. It just feels wrong. And I have a bunch of friends from San Diego that aren't Padre fans.
Right.
And they'll wear like the home jerseys or the road ones that say San Diego on it. I give them so much crap for that. Like, you can't do that.
Well, I will say this. Aaron Donald did everybody a favor today. He never played for another team. So now, if I was buying a Rams jersey, his name goes to the top of the list because it will never be out of style.
Huh.
Matthew Stafford, Rams jersey. I think he's going to finish his career with the Rams. But most players come and go. If you can find, like, I always say, if you came to me and said, hey, Ireland, I want to buy you a vintage Dodgers jersey and you can pick the player, it would either be Jackie Robinson or Sandy Koufax because they can never go out of style.
Yeah.
And now Aaron Donald joins that club. There's only going to be Aaron Donald Rams jerseys. He never played for the Steelers or the Cowboys or anybody else.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking about that with LeBron. Like he won championships with three different franchises. Do they all retire his number? Do they all retire his jersey? Is there going to be a LeBron statue here one day? I don't know.
There was a kid at a game we did this year. I can't remember if it was for Westbrook or LeBron. Mm-hmm. McMenamin got a picture of it,
it's
a video of it. The kid had every jersey that was at Westbrook that he had ever worn.
He had like 45 jerseys on.
Yeah, he had like,
it was like a
UCLA,
thing.
OKC, Houston, Washington, Lakers,
Clippers. Home and away.
Yeah, and
he had Lawndale,
Yeah, he just kept taking them off. And I think he had like 15 or 16 of them on. It was really funny. But, yeah, that's a good question. Would you wear a jersey of another team if it was for a great player? Lord, answer your original question. I don't think I could just wear a Bills jacket. I would have to get
I feel you.
Like, maybe.
Yeah, Josh Allen or something. Or
well, or even somebody that, like, used to play for him. Like, like Andre Reed or Thurman Thomas. Jim Kelly. I'd wear a Jim Kelly jersey.
That's cool.
But that would be it. All right, 2 o'clock call of the day is coming up here in about 5 minutes. And you can talk about anything. You can talk about Lakers, Dodgers, Clippers, Rams, Aaron Donald, anything you want. But before we do that, I knew we were going to have two women here today. So I put this in as a question for you guys, but I'm particularly interested in what Ramona and Laura think. You guys know about this dating app, Bumble?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Bumble is a dating app.
Laura's like, yes.
That requires women to make the first move. That's their thing. That's what separates them from Match.com and Tinder and everything else.
Can I step in just for a second because I use these apps?
Yeah.
Or I was. I hate them. I don't like them. So,
did you ever use Bumble?
Of course, absolutely. I actually just deleted
I've
it
seen
a couple,
somebody
about like 2 weeks ago
using right, Bumble so, live in action, and it was unbelievable.
So okay, Bumble is no longer that way.
Well, this is where I was going. Bumble announced this week that they're revising their strategy. that women go first because they say it feels like a burden. So my question, Ramona and Laura, if you ran Bumble, would you open it up that a man can contact a woman and a woman can contact a man, or leave it, woman goes first?
I think they've run in the numbers. I mean, I like the idea that the woman goes first, but I saw what happened. When I watched somebody use this.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm not going to say where or who.
Right.
But it, you may have been there.
Okay.
And it was unbelievable. It went from, like, some women use this, and when they make the move, it kind of sends this message that they're down to party.
Okay.
Like, they may not necessarily be just looking for a relationship,
Laura,
or whatever.
Did
like,
you
it
ever
kinda
use...
sends a move that gets you to, like, a different, way faster place than you would have thought.
Laura, did you ever use Bumble?
I did. I actually enjoyed the fact that it was on me to interact.
Right.
But at the same time, because of that, I was like, I'm lazy. I want them to, you know what I mean? So it's, I mean, it could go either way. I've never heard that, Momo. And I never did Tinder because to me, Tinder was always that, right?
Yeah, Tinder like, if you're on Tinder, you're looking to have sex, right?
Yeah, you're looking to have fun. You're DTS.
It's like
let's
I'm bored tonight. Who's around?
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Greg, did you ever have any success with Bumble?
Yeah, I dated plenty of people on Bumble. You go out on dates or not. But they also would do this. So it would be women have to go first, but they just go, hey.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not doing anything. Then you then have to make the move as the
then
man.
Then
you have to engage more. It was either, hey, or hey, Greg.
And like, Greg, what
I
got
am
a question.
To do with that?
Do you ever meet people IRL?
It's very, very hard.
What's like, IRL?
In real life.
Okay. It's very, I don't go to bars.
Yeah.
I don't go to certain places. But I've actually had much better success on Hinge. Actually, the woman I'm dating now is from Hinge.
Does Hinge have a twist to it like Bumble?
No, it's just that originally it was supposed to be you had to know them in some sense or connected to somebody else.
Friend
in
of
some
a friend
sense.
Kind of thing?
Yes, but that's no longer what it is.
Of separation
it's
happening.
Just, it's
they
just
can, they can, you can review anyone's profile, anyone can review
yes,
yours.
Yes, absolutely.
So the thing with the dating apps, and I've been out of them for a minute, I will admit, but it was depending on what app you were on is what you wanted. If you were on Tinder, you knew what you wanted.
You were looking to hook up.
Yeah. If you were
you're on
like,
Match.com, you were looking to get married.
Right. In Hinge, and I remember this one, POF, this is a throwback. It was kind
plenty
of like
of fish.
A, right. So it
oh,
was it was
so a, I love these. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of like, oh, or like OK Cupid. It because you had to do such a long questionnaire.
Yeah.
It was like hit or miss of who was really down to DTF or who was really down to date.
Hey, Greg, did you ever stick your foot in the pool of the goofy, like super specific apps like JDate or FarmersOnly.com?
I mean, I tried FarmersOnly.com, but I wasn't a farmer, so it didn't work out for me. But I did try JDate once.
JDate, for people who don't know, is a Jewish dating site.
Right. So I know this is going to sound very weird, but Jewish women have never liked me.
No, it doesn't sound weird. I have a friend. I've told you guys this story before.
It's weird.
I've had a story that and I don't know, this obviously doesn't exist in your family, Greg. Momo, I don't know if it existed in yours, but my friend, good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Successful dater. Like, girls loved him. A couple of Lisa's friends went out with him and just loved him. And he would come to me and he would say, hey, that girl's great, but I can't do anything seriously because my parents won't let me marry a girl who's not Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, like, really? Like, he goes, I would be disowned. He goes, it's not common anymore, but he goes, it is for very Jewish. And like, I've got some older friends who are Jewish that have kids now. And I say, would you be okay if your son or your daughter married somebody who isn't Jewish? And they say, no, we would not be okay.
Wow.
So that was JDate. That's why JDate got created.
So, my mom married a guy who was not Jewish. My dad's not Jewish, which is why my last name is Shelburne. It doesn't sound, So, my mom was like, I need to mix up the blood a little bit. We need to get some. Like,
Greg, you've always said that too. It doesn't matter to you if the person you're dating is Jewish or not, right?
No, absolutely not.
And I know a lot of, but we were raised Jewish, but we also got, you know, we got a Christmas tree and we got Christmas and whatever. Because my dad wasn't particularly religious. He just
wasn't
Jewish.
And Nevin do both now? Or just,
do both. Why not?
Okay, you celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah.
A little bit, but we just get a tree and some presents. But like,
Riley does both, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas and Hanukkah?
Yeah. And actually, I do Christmas with her now.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And so, but Nevin is Jewish as well. However, he's not there. Like, I'm way more practicing or into it than he is.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a thing. He didn't want to wear the kippah on his head at the wedding. And I go, well, it was kind of a big deal, Nev. Like, you got to have the kippah. I'm like, that's, we're going to have a Jewish wedding. You got to do that. You got to step on the glass. You got to, you know, we don't have to do all the other stuff, but you got to. And he goes, I just don't like the way it makes my hair look. Like, I just, like, he didn't want that for, like, his wedding photos, whatever. And we talked to the rabbi about it, and he was like, yeah, you're all right. It's outdoors, you know what?
Yeah. I think for some people it's very important, other people it doesn't matter. Okay, 2 o'clock call of the day coming up, 877-710-ESPN. Open the phones, Greg. 877-710-3776. Reminder, this is big.
Yes.
It is the final BB Go Fifth Row Friday of the regular season today on Mason and Ireland. We do the pop quiz. You could be sitting fifth row at Lakers versus Atlanta on Monday night. BB Go is the official game day snack of the Lakers. We'll have a question from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today. If you answer all five questions correctly, Greg, correct answers to the questions, you can win the Fifth Row Friday ticket. So we got that coming up.
I was here that day.
Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.